Good afternoon. This is Bob Kruger with this month's edition of Thought for Food. This program is heard on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. and is repeated on the third Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. It is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience, but hopefully will be of interest to everyone. Dates to remember in March begin with the Star Spangled Banner being made our official national anthem by an act of Congress in 1931. I'd have thought it had been sooner. We begin at a season of daylight saving time on the 10th. The Girl Scouts of America celebrate their birthday on the 12th, followed by St. Patrick's Day on the 17th. Spring begins on the 20th, but I expect many spring blossoms will already have disappeared. The 24th is Palm Sunday. The 25th is National Medal of Honor Day. The 29th is both Good Friday and National Vietnam Veterans Day, and we end the month on the 31st, which is Easter Sunday. On a personal note, March is the birthday of many of my family. My mother was born on the 2nd. My wife's birthday is the 3rd. The 9th is the birthday of a brother-in-law and a brother, 1 year apart. Two of my brothers were born in March, as was one of my son-in-laws. Early last month, we learned that Raleigh's to get a new Trader Joe's grocery store. In plans confirmed to the News and Observer, Public Relations Manager Nakia Rode said a new store will be opening in Raleigh, but did not share where or when. Triangle Business Journal first reported the plan, saying the store may open in the Brennan Station Shopping Center in North Raleigh. Brennan Station Shopping Center on Creedmoor Road in North Raleigh is owned by Kimsco Realty. Trader Joe's plans to occupy a 14,679 square foot spot in the shopping center, where you'll find Five Guys, Margaux's French restaurant, and a Briggs Diner. A Harris Teeter grocery store is located in the shopping center across from Brennan Station. And what do we know about Trader Joe's company? Well, let's ask a few questions to see what we find. How many Trader Joe's are there in North Carolina? This new location will be the fifth in the triangle. There's one each in Raleigh, Cary, Morrisville, and Chapel Hill. And across the state, there are five more sites in Asheville, Charlotte, Wilmington, Winston-Salem, and Greensboro. Is Trader Joe's a good company to work for? Forbes magazine says so, naming the California-based company as the best employer in North Carolina. Forbes partnered with a research firm to make this determination, surveying employees, asking if they would recommend their employer to friends and family, and how they feel about working conditions, compensation packages, diversity, and potential for development at their companies. Trader Joe's starts employees at $14 an hour, spokesperson Rody said. The company offers a retirement plan, health care, paid time off, flexible scheduling, opportunities for growth, and a 20% store discount. As yet, the new Raleigh location is not hiring anyone. But seeing that all we talk about on this program is food, when most of us never get near any of the places we mention, myself included, yet we learn that six of the world's most outstanding places to eat are located in North Carolina. There are Heron's Restaurant in Cary, the Farrington House Restaurant in Pittsburgh, the Dining Room at Inn on Biltmore Estate in Asheville, Gallery Restaurant in Charlotte, Fairview Dining Room in Durham, and Madison's Restaurant and Wine Garden in Highlands, North Carolina. The food destinations were chosen after Forbes Travel Guide sent teams to restaurants, hotels, spas, and cruise ships all around the world. Each place received scores across a large number of categories. Our anonymous professional inspectors evaluated based especially on exceptional service. Congratulations to all the six from North Carolina. We've often been told we should drink more water for many health benefits. Do we or do we drink one of these so-called energy drinks? On beverage labels, energy is a code word for caffeine. This stimulant can make you feel more alert, says Tracy Brigman, a registered a clinical nutrition associate professor at the University of Georgia. For healthy adults, sipping on an energy drink in place of coffee or tea is probably fine, she says, but you have to consider caffeine in everything you consume. Energy drinks typically have 70 to 200 milligrams of caffeine in 12 ounces. An 8-ounce cup of coffee has from 80 to 100 milligrams. That's because that's too much. The Food and Drug Administration considers 400 milligrams of caffeine a day an acceptable amount for most adults. For some adults, this amount can have negative results. In a 2021 review of 32 studies, nearly 25% of the adults who consumed energy drinks said they experienced insomnia, and nearly 30% reported jitteriness, restlessness, or shaky hands. But the makers of some energy drinks, such as Aspire, Celsius, and Clean, suggest that where the caffeine comes from makes a difference. They say the ingredients that naturally contain caffeine, such as green tea, guara seed, and yerba mate, are superior to synthetics that's been added. For example, the label on Aspire with 80 milligrams of caffeine from the guarana seed and green tea says it has healthy energy and natural caffeine and claims no jitters, no crash on its website. But there's no chemical difference between natural caffeine and caffeine extracted in a lab. Some beverages also contain other supposed energy boosters such as B vitamins and chromium. These do help your body use carbohydrates from food for energy, but they don't give the immediate pep you may be seeking. Plus, you can get what you need from them with a healthy diet. While ingredients like L-carnitine and L-theanine may burn a few extra calories, one or two energy drinks a day aren't going to help you lose weight, especially if they have added sugars. Most drinks will hydrate you, but the promise of sports beverages is they contain electrolytes, minerals like potassium, calcium, and sodium, and other nutrients that hydrate you faster and perhaps better. Gatorade's labels claim rapid hydration, for example, and Liquid IV says it's most effective hydration than water alone on its website. Electrolytes can be lost in sweat, make muscles, including your heart, contract, and help water and fluids get absorbed properly in your cells, says Jason Makowski, a sports dietitian and exercise psychologist at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. But water is just as hydrating, and speed doesn't usually matter, he says. These drinks may have a lot of added sugars and sodium. Gatorade, for example, has 21 grams of added sugar and 160 grams of sodium in 12 ounces. The American Heart Association's limit for women is 26 grams or less a day, and 23 milligrams is the sodium daily value. Most people get enough electrolytes from food. An exception is if you've been exercising longer than an hour, especially if you sweat a lot, if it's a hot, humid day. You may want to sip on an electrolyte drink if you have diarrhea or have vomited, which can deplete your electrolytes. In addition to sports drinks, a number of beverages offer blends of different nutrients, sometimes with electrolytes. Vitamin Water calls itself a nutrient-enhanced water beverage, while Bai claims to be an antioxidant infusion. Having nutrients like these in drinks probably aren't going to give you any real benefits, says Consumer Reports' Amy Keating, a registered dietitian. In some cases, you aren't getting much of them, she said. For example, Bai's Empanada pomegranate has just 15% of the daily value for vitamin C. You can get far more from a cup of strawberries, she says. And this report came from the current issue of Consumer Reports magazine. We often report on new eating places in the Triangle, but not everyone is successful. The last location of the popular Puerto Rican restaurant closed their doors in January. Tropical Pick and Chicken closed its Wake Forest Road location just after the first of the year, ending a 15-year run in the Triangle. The restaurant was founded in 2009 by Randy Hernandez, who started Tropical Pickin' Chicken in Wake Forest, serving a menu of Latin American dishes, including mofongo, jerk chicken, and rotisserie-style pola a la brasa. Mr. Hernandez was the co-owner or co-founder of Triangle Restaurants Red Monkey, Empanada Factory, and Lishan Latin Barbecue Joint. He recently sold his interest in these restaurants to start a construction company. Tropical Pickin' Chicken expanded with a sister restaurant called Latin Quarter in 2013, which focused more on Puerto Rican dishes, then added a second location in Raleigh at 404 East Six Forks Road at the corner of Six Forks and Wake Forest Drive. Mr. Hernandez sold the Raleigh Tropical Pickin' Chicken in 2018 to Lageria Aldaya, and the original Wake Forest location became the Empanada Factory. The Wake Forest Tropical Pickin' Chicken closed in 2022. After a little more than a year in business, one of the newest restaurants on Durham's American Tobacco campus is closed. The popular Raleigh restaurant Five Star made the move to Durham last year with a new location at the ATC, representing a rare instance of a Raleigh restaurant moving to Durham. The Durham Five Star announced the closing on Instagram, saying Sunday, February 11th, was its last day of service. We're sad to say that we're closing our Durham location effective February 11th. Five Star posted on social media. While we had high hopes for our expansion, we haven't been able to operate our business in a way that consistently produces a product that meets our standards. Our partners at the American Tobacco Campus have been incredible, and we want to thank them and the Durham community for their support. Five Star, first opened in Raleigh in 2000, is known for a modern Chinese menu with steamed dumplings, noodles, and rice dishes. The Durham Five Star opened in 2023, moving into the space of the former Cuban Revolution restaurant. The district is among Durham's best-known spots, bringing thousands of visitors to Durham Bulls home games and to shows at the Durham Performing Arts Center, known as DPAC. Well, outside of these events and the work hours, the campus can be slow compared to the heart of downtown Durham. Inflation has changed the way many Americans shop. Now those changes in consumer habits are being helped bringing down inflation. Fed up with high prices that remain about 19% on average above where they were before the pandemic, consumers are fighting back, and grocery stores are shifting away from name brands to store brands. We call them private labels. Switching to discount stores or simply buying fewer items like snacks or gourmet food. More Americans are buying used cars rather than new, forcing some auto dealers to provide discounts on new cars again. But the growing consumer pushback to what critics condemn as price gouging has been most evident with food and consumer goods like paper napkins and towels. In recent months, consumer resistance has led to large food companies to respond by sharply slowing their price increases from the peaks of the past 3 years. This doesn't mean grocery prices will fall back to where they were a few years ago, though some items, including eggs, apples, and milk prices, are below their peaks. But the milder increases in food prices should further cool overall inflation, which is down sharply from a peak of 9.1% in 2022 to 3.1%. Public frustration with prices has become a central issue in President Joe Biden's bid for re-election. Polls show that despite the dramatic decline in inflation, many consumers are unhappy that prices remain so much higher than they were before inflation began rising rapidly in 2021. Consumer pushback against high prices suggests to many economists that inflation should further ease. That would make this bout of inflation markedly different from the debilitating spikes in the 1970s and the early 1980s, which took longer to overcome. When high inflation persists, consumers often develop an inflationary psychology. Ever-rising prices lead them to speed up their purchases before it costs more, a trend that can itself perpetuate inflation. Here we are, 3 months after New Year's Day. Did you, like myself, make some resolutions about trying to eat a healthier diet? How are you doing? Switching from an unhealthy diet and little or no exercise can be daunting. In this expert alert, Dr. Juan Cardenas Rosales, MD, an internal medical physician and medical director of the International Medical Service at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, shares some small steps and one big one can lead to a heart healthier life. Taking the first step can be difficult. Whether you try to eat a nutritious diet, exercise more, or both, Dr. Cardenas says. That is in part because people often set high expectations for themselves and try to reach them immediately rather than approaching it as a process. It's better to make these changes little by little and stay consistent than to make a sudden change that is difficult to maintain, he says. For example, don't start exercising 30 minutes a day, 5 times a week, but start with 10 minutes every third day. Also, adjust your diet, and each day, lower your sugar intake, your salt, and so on, little by little. Start with small steps, but keep moving forward. Dr. Cardenas recommends gradually substituting healthy choices in your diet, such as fish, chicken, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and whole grains. Drinking a lot of water is also important, at least 2 quarts a day, and stay away from processed foods that are very high in certain types of harmful fats, like trans fats, Dr. Cardenas says. One of the hardest moves to make can be skipping favorite foods that are now known to be unhealthy, but have been a part of family meals for generations, he adds. Many times in our culture and tradition, this type of diet's been followed for many years, and it's what we often taught by our relatives, our grandmothers, our parents, but many times that doesn't mean it's healthy for us, he says. If we know that it's something that's harmful to our health, we should try to always choose the healthy option. Working toward adequate sleep, even 7 hours a night, is also important for heart health. It reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease and serious conditions, such as hypertension, which is high blood pressure, and high cholesterol, that can also risk factors for heart disease. By having a good sleep, we also allow our body to recover and be ready to continue the next day, he explains. It also has been shown that many times not sleeping well can lead to chronic stress. There's one big change that Dr. Cardenas recommends making immediately. Stop smoking and avoid secondhand smoke from other people's smoke. The moment one stops smoking, the risk of cardiovascular disease decreases, he says. Research has shown that after 1 year of completely quitting smoking, the cardiovascular risk falls in half that of a person who smokes. Before starting an exercise plan, it's a good idea to talk with your healthcare team to ensure a safe approach, the doctor advises. It's also good practice to schedule routine checkups so your health team can screen for heart distress and risk factors such as diabetes, hypertension, and high cholesterol. This story came from the Mayo Clinic newsletter. One suggestion really addresses me. I don't drink enough water. Question is, what am I going to do about it? There are a few things more universally enjoyed than ice cream. Sharing a dish of your favorite flavor, or standing outside your neighborhood ice cream parlor on a hot sunny day, connects people from all walks of life. Community and love are the foundations of Two Roosters Ice Cream, and this summer, the Raleigh-based parlor is opening its 6th location in Cary's Waverly Place Shopping Center, next to Enrigo Italian Bistro. Owner Jared Plummer, a Triangle native, said people have been waiting for the parlor to expand to western Wake County. He hopes to open the store in June. The community-driven business began on wheels in 2015 before opening its first shop in 2017 on Triangle's Lead Mine Road. The Cary location will be similar to the 5 locations Two Roosters already has in Raleigh, Durham, and Wake Forest. The Cary location will be similar to the other five. The parlor is known for its 11 unique forever flavors like blackberry hibiscus, sea salt chip, cookie dough, and strawberry and honey among its non-dairy and other options. Mr. Plummer's love for ice cream and inspiration for the parlor name started on his grandmother's front porch, where two black rooster pictures hung on the door. As kids, we would make homemade ice cream with the old rock salt machine, and it's been a wonderful opportunity to tell the story. Community is the heartbeat of our identity. We want to be the meeting place that people can make memories and spend time as family units. Two Roosters seeks customer input for ideas and introduces new flavors each month. Some have been inspired by local bakers, artists, and musicians. Two Roosters continues to operate its ice cream truck for weddings in the Triangle, in addition to serving ice cream at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. They recently became a vendor at the PNC Arena for Carolina Hurricanes hockey games and other events. I have no intention of taking Two Roosters national. We get solicitations by my family. We live here, work, and play in the Triangle, and it's our home. I want it to be something special that folks that live, work, and play here can only get here and contribute to our local identity. I say we are Triangle famous. Who doesn't like ice cream? In the past few years, North Carolina has grown in population. As a result, is the 10th largest state in the country. Along with the increase in population comes companies who want to have a presence in our state. One such company is Texas-based Whataburger. The name is spelled in one word, no spaces between the words. For years there have been signals and signs, but North Carolina is still waiting on the first Whataburger. It appears it's only a matter of time. The beloved Texas burger brand is quietly planning to expand into at least three North Carolina cities. The first flicker of Whataburger popped up in January of 2021 when they created their corporate filings. Since then, Whataburger has submitted plans for restaurants in Charlotte, Greensboro, and Fayetteville. A later story tells us they have plans for locations in Raleigh, Durham, and Cary. They provided no information as to where they might open. Most of us already have a favorite burger joint that we frequent often, but it's hard not to be just a bit burger curious about brands like In-N-Out, Jack in the Box, and Whataburger. Now it seems that North Carolina Whataburger is becoming a reality, and here's a bit of Whataburger information. They were founded in 1950, and today there are nearly 1,000 locations. The majority of them are in Texas. The closest Whataburger to the Triangle is nearly 5 hours away in Commerce, Georgia, an hour northeast of Atlanta. Most locations stay open 24 hours a day, serving platters of thin patty burgers on seedless buns, patty melts on Texas toast, chicken sandwiches, and wings. The Carolinas look to be a part of the brand's current expansion. The Post and Whataburger executives told the Charleston, South Carolina newspaper, the Post and Courier, that Raleigh and Charlotte could see locations open in 2025, plus more in South Carolina. One day, North Carolina will get its first Whataburger, but it already has a history with Whataburger, a totally unrelated burger franchise that uses hyphens between the what, the A, and the burger. This decades-old drive-in style burger chain once numbered more than a dozen, according to the article in our state magazine, but only six remain today, all in and around Charlotte. A Florida-based restaurant and craft beer chain will open its first North Carolina location this year on Hillsborough Street in downtown Raleigh. The Brass Tap Craft Beer Bar, which started in a Tampa suburb in 2008, will open at 400 H, a new building at 400 Hillsborough Street, in an area just west of the state capitol building, where other bars and eateries have opened in the past several years. The franchise is being launched by Roshan Barrell and Naraha Badari, who signed a 10-year lease on the building with York Properties. The top brass model is grounded in providing a premium beer experience at the neighborhood level. VJ K. Shaw, the senior vice president of retail service for Raleigh's trademark brand property, said. The partners know they wanted a location with a variety of businesses around it, as well as the feeling of a close community. Top Brass has more than 50 locations in 14 states. The company says the restaurant offers an extensive beer menu, handmade cocktails, and popular wines, and their menus list bar food items such as chicken wings, nachos, fresh baked pretzels, as well as burgers, sandwiches, and seafood baskets. The restaurants hold weekly events featuring live music, trivia contests, and sports nights. This location will have 3,554 square feet of leased space in a newly opened tower with residential office and retail space. The Brass Top will also have an outdoor dining space. The restaurant is expected to open in the fall. For the first time ever, somebody from the Triangle will appear on the Top Chef. Set in Milwaukee, season 21 of this widely popular Bravo cooking competition will premiere this month. Among the cast members will be Savannah Miller, the chef de cuisine of M. Tapir in Durham. Miss Miller is only the fourth North Carolinian chef to compete on Top Chef in the program's 20 years. Top Chef is a converted showcase for young and talented chefs, and an appearance can catapult careers. Miss Miller has been among the Triangle's most talented chefs since gaining notoriety in 2019 as a chef de cuisine of Michael Lee's M. Tapera. This restaurant was declared Restaurant of the Year in 2020, and during the pandemic, she was the opening chef at Glasshouse Kitchen in the Research Triangle Park. This season, Miss Miller will be one of 15 chefs from across the country competing on the show. The new season will open at 9 p.m. on March 20th on the Bravo Network. They will feature supersized episodes every Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 10:15 p.m. We wish Miss Miller the best of luck, and all of us are proud of this North Carolina chef. Triangle restaurants with a sweet tooth have a new spot to get an icy treat with the opening of a popular dessert franchise. Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard has opened its only location in the Triangle in Cary's Northwoods Market Shopping Center at 921 North Harrison Avenue. The store is a former Subway location. The Ice and Custard Shop has no Triangle locations beside a concession stand at the Durham Bulls home games. Rita's Italian Ice opened in 1984 in Pennsylvania. It is now the largest Italian ice shop in the world, with about 550 stores worldwide in over 30 states. It has stores in Charlotte and Asheville. Every first day of spring, they give away free Italian ice. It's our hope that guests can continue to create memories here at our new location with our family and friends for years to come, says Jill Berger, who owns the Charlotte location. We've run out of time for today's episode of Thought for Food. Be sure to listen next time. This is Bob Kruger reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any questions or comments, we want both, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.